We present Kenneth Williams, Peter Jones, Derek Nimmo and Sheila Hancock in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Hello and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And as you just heard, we're delighted to welcome back Sheila Hancock, who very graciously and kindly comes along to try and compete with these three unruly regulars. So, Sheila, welcome to the show. And once again, along with the other three, I'm going to ask you to speak, if you can, for just a minute on some subject that I will give them without hesitation, repetition or deviation. And we begin the show this week with Kenneth Williams. And, Kenneth, the subject is fruit. So, can you tell us something about fruit in the game, starting now?
It's used jocularly very often. People cry out, "Hello, me old fruit!" And if we're asked for a favourite delectation, I would plump for the kumquat. It is a delightful taste, and the rind, being acid, the inside being sweet, provides a delightful, paradoxical, if you will...
Sheila Hancock has challenged.
Repetition of delightful.
Yes, you said delightful twice. So, Sheila Hancock, who's very sharp at the game, has got very rapidly.
Miss Sharp, straight out the knife box.
And there are 41 seconds for you, having got a point for a correct challenge, Sheila, to take over the subject of fruit, starting now.
The best fruit I've ever tasted was when I went, luckily, to a holiday in Bali, where you have the most exotic, subtle-tasting things that you've ever seen in all your life. And the colours are mellow greens, bright reds, vivid oranges, livid yellows. And the tastes leave a kind of...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, she really was running down...
It was a kind
down
of elongation.
Yes, it was an elongated, clever, subtle ploy in with, to keep herself going.
But I didn't know what the hell to say next.
Don't think you quite achieved it, Sheila. There are 18 and a half seconds left, Derek, for you to take over the subject of fruit, starting now.
Sheikh Rashid of Dubai, the United Arab Emirates, has built the most magnificent fruit gardens. And you get into a motorized dhow, and along a railway track you travel through vast pineapples, bananas, grapes, pears, and so on.
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
He said you travel through vast pineapples. Well, I've never seen anyone traveling through a vast pineapple. How would you get inside a pineapple with a vehicle? The whole thing is ridiculous. You might mean pineapple plantation.
No.
You might melt.
Derek, can you explain how you actually travel through a pineapple?
High pineapples.
But you said... Junk.
And you travelled through them on this little dhow.
Yeah, but you said you travelled through grapes as well. Can't have a 10-foot grape. No wonder there's trouble in the Middle East.
Derek, I think you've made your point. You can travel through out in the East through this huge cut-out pineapple. So you keep the subject with 4 seconds to go and a point for a wrong challenge starting
B.G. Woodhouse said what ho, oh, fruit very frequently in his books. And
Peter Jones challenged just before the second.
Repetition.
What of?
P.G. Woodhouse was repeating this thing. He said it many times in his books.
I mean, it was a repetitious thought, but he wasn't actually repeating any of the words in just a minute, which are the rules, Peter, which, as you've only been with us about 14 years, might be very difficult.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm trying to get the hang of it. Yes.
Right, so, Peter, let's give Peter a nice point for that, because we enjoyed the challenge. Derek gets one for a wrong challenge, and you have half a second, Derek, to continue on fruit, starting now.
One time.
Oh! So... when the ambassador blows his whistle, it tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point. It was Derek Nimmo, who naturally has the lead at the end of that round. He seems to have some spare fruit on him at the present moment. If you wonder what that unsolicited laugh was, listeners, it was Derek Nimmo spilling water all over himself. He'll do anything to get the audience reaction. Peter Jones, it's your turn to begin. The subject is rocking chairs. Will you tell us something about those in the game, starting now?
I like rocking chairs. I have several at home. What a marvellous invention they were. I suppose perhaps they may have arrived by accident, because the first person who ever made a chair of any kind, it was probably wobbly, because the legs weren't quite even. We have several of those.
Derek Nimmo, Charles.
Several.
There's more than one several. I'm sorry, Peter.
Yes, there was. Yes.
So Derek has another point, and the subject of rocking chairs, and there are 44 seconds starting now.
Often on a midsummer afternoon, I climb into my rocking chair on the veranda, snuggle up and watch the sun go down behind the distant mountains, smoking a while my briar pipe, in which I have decomposing compost. But the rocking chair is a lovely creation, as Mr. Peter Jones so wisely put it. Somehow it induces within one this feeling of tranquility and sounds. I think that's probably why that awfully clever comedian often sits in one. He sings, I think, as well.
Sheila Hancock.
Oh, no, I thought he said awfully twice.
He did.
He said awfully an orphan. It sounded the same coming from him, but he didn't.
Yes.
It's this new Dubai accent he's picked up. It's very confusing. Sheila. You see, he didn't, actually. So, Derek, you continue with 11 seconds on rocking chairs, starting now.
Wilberforce Jones invented a kind of rocking chair.
Peter Jones.
John. Repetition of Jones.
Absolutely true. Yeah.
Right. So, Peter, you have 7 seconds, no, 8 seconds on rocking chairs, starting now.
Yes, well, I've sat many an hour in a rocking chair.
Peter, Derek Nimmo, Chuck.
Tradition of sat.
You sat before, I'm afraid, Peter.
Did I?
Yes, you did. When you
I don't remember
on.
That.
I know, but I have to remember, otherwise they castigate me. There are 5.5 seconds on Derek with rocking chairs, starting now.
And sometimes I push them up and down so rapidly they spin right over, head over heels, and fall down onto the road beneath.
Got quite a number of points in that round, including one for speaking as the whistle went, so he has increased his lead, and he also begins the next round, and the subject is shooting stars. Will you tell us something about those in the game, Derek, starting now?
Shooting stars are, of course, meteors that go through the night sky with a great luminous light before they hit the Earth. In times past, they were often equated with comets as a sign of impending disaster. When one saw a shooting star, one was filled with fear because you thought some tremendous calamity was about to take place. I think one was seen before the death...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Well, he keeps talking about one.
Yes, he's had actually 4-1.
Yes, 4-1, which make yes. 4.
So... Peter, I agree with your challenge.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And there are 34 seconds for you to take over the subject of shooting stars, starting now.
Actually, it's an electronic game that I've invented. You can play it with your television set, and you aim a plastic gun.
Derek Nimmo, challenge. No. Almost, but not quite. You keep the subject, and there are 26 seconds on shooting stars, starting now.
Pulling the trigger when you see a particular celebrity you dislike intensely. And this game, I think, has got an enormous future.
What a pity.
No, repetition game.
Yes, you did say game before. What a
oh,
pity.
Yes, well, I...
You were wondering I all did, the stars yes. that you were going to be put up for shooting down.
Yes.
Derek has got the subject back. Then there are 18 seconds on shooting stars, starting now.
I think probably I would like to shoot Oliver Reed more than most stars. But it doesn't seem to be particularly tiresome. If Nicholas Sparsons were one, I think I would also fire. Sadly, of course, he would never be one of these great luminaries. But as they said...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Well, he said one twice again, so that's 6 altogether.
After what he's just said, I'd give it against him anyway.
Well, I know. Well, yes. It's like Princess Anne on the show.
Peter, you got in with 3 seconds to go on shooting stars, starting now.
Shooting stars could be a blood sport.
Peter Jones kept going till the whistle went, gained that extra point, as well as others in the round, and he is creeping up on our leader. He's only 3 points behind Derek Nimmo, but quite a few ahead of Sheila Hancock and Kenneth Williams. Sheila, your turn to begin, and the subject is the problem I had last week. Right. 60 seconds, starting now.
Well, I suppose the biggest problem I had last week was my indigestion. I woke up one morning with this terrible pain across my stomach.
And Derek Nimmo has a challenge.
Interference.
No, it was me. I just suddenly thought, oh, what will happen if
Kenneth gets his subject. Knowing the things I've heard him say in private about indigestion. Yeah. It's in the interests of the public that you let me keep this subject for a long time. The giggles.
I know you did.
I just got the giggles.
What made you laugh in the middle of this harrowing story?
She was laughing. Listen, Sheila, talk about
it. Kenneth and I used to have, when I was in a show with Kenneth and I, we used to have endless jokes about indigestion, which he was always getting.
Sheila,
and I suddenly remember.
Save it for the show, because I'm going to let you continue.
Oh, all right.
Right. So, Sheila still has the subject. I don't know how, but there are 47 seconds on the problem I had last week, starting now.
Well, I woke up in the morning and I found this.
It must be hesitation or something.
I think it must be
sort of general collapse.
A general collapse. I think you'll have to take it over, whatever happens, Derek, because I don't think she could continue with her interference. There are 43 seconds, Derek, for you. The problem I had last week, starting now.
Oh, the problem I had last week was trying to get to just a minute, because I happened to be in Bahrain and then flew from there.
Kenneth Williams.
And then flu.
Yes. Hesitation. Right, that Kenneth, you have this problem now. On the problem I had last week, starting now.
The problem I had last week is one of the reasons why Miss Hancock was laughing, because I have it frequently, and it was to do with eructation. That is the emission of air which can come from either end of the room. Amusement for the lady I mentioned before, because in the middle of a certain scene we were playing one day, there was emitted a noise. It resulted in her saying to me, I think the front row heard that. The scene did suffer.
So we had the story at last from Kenneth and not from Sheila. And so, Kenneth, you kept going till the whistle went. You got that extra point for doing so.
Which means I'm in the lead.
Still in last place, I'm afraid. What does it matter when you give such value to the show?
Well, you're very equal. Charming,
you're equal with Sheila Hancock in third place, trailing a little behind Peter Jones and quite a bit behind Derek Nimmo. Kenneth, it's your turn to begin. The subject is trying, something you never do in this game, and something you never are as well. But would you talk on it for just a minute, if you can, starting now?
It's interesting I should have been given the subject of trying, because I've attended the Old Bailey sessions very regularly. At one point, I was a devotee in the upper gallery, and later on, I had the honour, if you will, of being given a corporation seat, which is something of a privilege. And to watch those gentlemen bewigged and gowned, trying their cases with the kind of meticulous attention, even saying, just a moment, I didn't quite hear that sentence, and writing everything in longhand, intrigued me. And I remember saying to the constable at public entrance, what court has got the best ones? I don't want all that summing up. I'm only interested in cross-examination. That's where you feel the thrust of the barrister and the question that might trap the witness.
Well, that hasn't happened for a while. Someone starting with the subject and 60 seconds later still having it, not having been interrupted, because he didn't commit any of the faults of the game. So, Kenneth, you get a point for speaking as the whistle went, and a bonus for not being interrupted, and you are still in third place. But you are ahead of Sheila Hancock, who's now gone into fourth place, alas. But you're catching up on Peter Jones and Derek Nimmo, and Peter, your turn to begin. The subject, over emotional women. Would you like to talk on that in just a minute, starting now?
Well, it's a sexist expression. It's more often than not used by under-emotional men to describe perfectly normal human beings. I think probably Sheila will agree with me on this point. There is a tremendous prejudice against ladies in business affairs and in high places, in our finance houses, for instance, and huge
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, I think so, unfortunately. Oh. So, there are... Well, you have to judge. Last time I gave Peter the benefit of the doubt. This time I've given it to you.
Quite, it's quite arbitrary, really. I mean, it's nothing to do with whether one has actually hesitated. But I'm quite prepared to, you know, take part in the lottery.
Well said, Peter. There are 29 seconds with you, Derek, on over-emotional women starting now.
Maggie May.
Kenneth Williams. Undoubtedly, yes. you have the subject
of... We're rather lucky in the lottery that time.
you have the subject of over-emotional women, and there are 27 seconds left, starting now.
I went with an over-emotional woman on board, and this is fact, HMS Apollo. And she inquired of an engineer who was a sailor on board the aforementioned ship.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
She was on board twice.
She was on board twice.
Well, you're a fool to yourself. You just... That's what you're a fool to yourself, Nimmo, you see.
Repetition of fool to yourself, but Nimmo...
You're a fool to yourself every time.
It was no lottery there. You definitely have the subject. There are 14 seconds on over-emotional women starting now.
She grabbed him in her arms and smothered him with red-hot, passionate kisses. And he fell on the floor and she rushed on top of him and tore at his hair. He screamed with submission.
Kenneth Williams, a challenge.
Well, he's describing something which might well be, you know, in the realms of passionate love scenes and all the rest of it. There's nothing to do with over-emotional women.
She doesn't sound as if she was under-emotional.
She's getting on top of a man and tearing his hair out. That's nothing to do with it.
There's no emotion involved in that.
No, obviously she's not. She's a pugilist, I should think.
Well, she's not frigid, that's for sure.
I agree with...
Red-hot kisses. Go on, I was getting quite excited. I want you to stop now, halfway through.
Well, he's only got 4 seconds to tell us of what happened after that, and you start now.
And I grabbed hold of this man and said, go away, leave this damsel in distress.
So Derek Nimmo was speaking again as the whistle went and has increased his lead. And Derek, your turn to begin. The subject, tramps. Can you tell us something about them in the game, starting now?
The glory of the merchant fleet. Those dear little tramp steamers that we see going round the coast of England, often unheralded and indeed unsung. But when one remembers John Masefield's dear poem, which Kenneth, I knows so well, dirty British coaster with a salt-cake smokestack butting through the channel in the mad March day. With a cargo of road rails, pig iron, firewood, and cheap tin trays. How evocative it is, the wonderful alliteration at the end, which describes that dear little tramp that...
Peter Jones has challenged.
The repetition of deer.
Yes, you talked about the dear little poem, the dear little tramp, and now there are 22 seconds for Peter to take over the subject of tramps, starting now.
Well, when I was a small boy, we lived literally very near the workhouse. And tramps used to go past the house and occasionally drop in and ask for a cup of tea or a bit of bread and butter. And I was quite in...
Kenneth Williams, the chap.
I was quite
Yes, Kenneth. You have 8.5 seconds to tell us something about tramps, starting now.
It springs to mind the tramp who rushed up to the very well-dressed gentleman and said, I haven't eaten for 3 days! And the man said, well, you must force yourself.
Well, Kenneth, speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point as well as others, and now he is equal in second place with Peter Jones behind Derek Nimmo and ahead of Sheila Hancock. And Sheila, your turn to begin. Subject, Sheila, is winkles. After your indigestion, they've given you winkles. Don't go well together, but will you talk on the subject if you can for just a minute, starting now?
Well, I have very happy memories of winkles. When I lived in King's Cross, it was our Sunday treat to put on our best dresses, my sister and I, over which we always wore a special apron, and we used to go to the local corner, and there was a man with a lovely barrow, and he used to sell winkles and shrimps. And I remember they were sold in pint or two-pint mugs.
And Derek Nimmer challenged the rotten thing. Yes, there were too many pints, weren't there? Derek, 37 seconds on Winkle, starting now.
I remember getting a pair of shoes which were called Winkle Pickers, and they had very sharp points, and I was a tremendously natty dancer in those days. Wonderfully good at the military two-step and the paraglide, and all sorts of lovely movements.
I'm
afraid this is deviation. The subject is Winkles, now we're on to shoes. And these shoes aren't even called Winkles, they are called Winkle Pickers, and the subject is Winkles, so and I don't think...
No, he got away from Winkles onto his prowess as a dancer.
Precisely.
I agree, yes.
Precisely.
That was born concisely put, wasn't it?
Yeah, so what a very good chairman we've got this week.
Not the one they usually have, obviously. Kenneth, do you have 24 and a half seconds to tell us something about Winkles, starting now?
I was brought up in a Cockney atmosphere, and they used to cry out, when you're eating Winkles and the pins of you, smack them with an hammer like the big pots do. And enjoy these sort of songs around it.
Peter Jones, a chap.
Hesitation.
I don't think so, no. Continue, Kenneth, please, on
the word didn't come readily to his lips, did it?
No, but sometimes they don't. But he didn't pause long enough to be penalised.
He stopped long enough for me to press a buzzer.
Kenneth, I disagree with the challenge. You keep going, if you can, for 11 and a half seconds on Winkles, starting now.
My father always used a needle to get them out and wouldn't consume any until he got a great pile in front of him, which always annoyed me, because I felt...
Sheila Hancock.
Always.
Yes, I'm sorry, Kenneth. Sheila's got in with 2 seconds to go on the subject of Winkles, starting now.
Then you put them on a piece of white...
So, Sheila got an extra point for speaking as the whistle went, but alas, she's still in fourth place, but not so far behind Peter Jones now and Kenneth Williams, who will begin the next round. Kenneth, the subject is gin. Can you tell us something about that in the game? He's pulled an awful face, which made the audience laugh, but he's going to try and keep going if he can, starting now.
When I came out of the army, I remember thinking it was terribly smart to go into restaurants and say, I want as an aperitif a gin and Italian. If you felt particularly pretentious, you sometimes said gin and French. I never understood what these references to foreign countries really meant, and then someone enlightened me and said it's gin with a vermouth hailing from those countries. I see. And why, in the middle of this gin, is a cherry plopped, invitingly, admittedly? But what has it to do? It's to give a special flavour to it. You see, gin is made from the juniper berry. I said I'd no idea, because, you know, I've always thought it was the sort of thing like...
Peter Jones, a chunk.
Well, gin isn't made with a juniper berry. The juniper berry is used to flavour it. You can make gin out of practically anything, and they do.
Certainly they do, but they also make it from juniper berries.
You think so?
Yes, not just flavouring with it. That is the usual standard gin that we drink. Is
out of juniper berries?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
They must be a slow gin, you great fool. Have you heard that?
Yes, that's flavouring. That's flavouring. Well, you don't see many juniper berries in this country. I suppose they must get them, the giant ones, from the places that he was talking about.
Through them,
yes.
It goes right through the juniper berries in Dubai.
You have a point, actually, and I...
Yes,
it's
well, I've got the subject, thank you.
Well, I have a point.
Yes.
Well, I wanted a point, that's
you
why I pressed the buzzer. About gin.
Kenneth, would you like to keep going? I'll give you the benefit of the doubt and keep going for 13 seconds on gin, starting now.
And on one occasion, drinking a gin next to a rather large lady, I said, are you having another? And she said, no, it's just the way my coat's done up.
We're going to take some time to recover from that one. So, Kenneth, yes, keeping going till the whistle went. You got another point, as well as others.
And I'm in the lead. Yes, go on.
No, second place.
Oh, no, he's got an awful lot of points and not got anywhere.
I know, he's behind every week.
I would
never get anywhere.
You do. You got very far because you've got a lot of... People have won with as many points as you've got now. 11. But this wretch over here went sailing ahead right at the start.
Why, I'm a wretch.
Yes, absolute wretch. You know you are, Derek Nemo. You...
Oh, I don't like to see discord. We should all be happy and gay.
Nicholas...
I'll be happy.
No,
Nicholas. I'll settle for being happy. Someone else can go with the other adjective.
Nicholas is prejudiced because he thinks you're a naturalised Arab.
He looks like one tonight in that gear he's got on.
He just come from Dubai, you know.
Yes.
Where the big fruits come from.
Well, that's the first time that I managed to get Derek Nimmo going after having been rude to me, but there we are. So there's always a first everything. Thank you very much, Derek, and you were certainly over-emotional there, and you were going right through the pineapple, and the audience loved it. Sheila, it was lovely having you as a guest, but with these three experienced exponents of the game, I'm afraid you finished up in third place. But you were only 1 point behind Peter Jones. You were only 3 points behind Kenneth... No, 5 points behind Kenneth Williams, who was in second place. But they didn't quite catch up that extrovert exponent of the game, who I accidentally called a wretch in the most affectionate terms. But he didn't like it, because he's very sensitive, is Derek Nimmo. But our sensitive Derek is the winner this week. So, you can stop clapping now, actually, because I just want to say congratulations to all of them for what they've contributed to the show. We hope that you've enjoyed it in the audience, and we particularly hope the listeners at home have enjoyed, and will want to tune in again the same time next week when once again we take to the air and play Just a Minute. Till then, from all of us here, goodbye.
Chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.